Hello, everybody. It is 11:45 right now, so we're just going to do a quick showmo, but my guests are here. Say hello to everybody. We've got Jerome and Mary Lou. Buongiorno.
Hey, everyone.
Hello, everyone.
And so you guys are two Newark filmmakers, and your new movie or your new film is coming out, your new documentary, The Rule. So that can be shown tonight at the Montclair Public Library.
Correct.
And what time is it?
It starts at 6:30 p.m.
Okay, so we're going to do a quick showmo and get to your interview right now. So here we go with this. And
are you ready for a good time? Hey you, it's me, Silas Kazengwa, and join me for the most fun on radio. Hour 1, let's talk the biggest headlines. Why are you annoyed? Sound off in Hour 2. And Hour 3, we're shining a light on you. TV and movie picks, food reviews, entertainment buzz, I've got it all. Join the conversation today. It's Silas Live, Saturdays 1 to 4 p.m. on WMSC 90.3 FM.
Filmmakers, and we live in Newark, New Jersey. Newark is a great city, but it has huge problems. A quarter of our population lives in poverty, the crime rate is high, and the graduation rate is low. While searching for solutions, we were introduced to a place in the heart of the city called Newark Abbey. It's a 150-year-old monastery run by monks who wear black robes as they did in the 6th century. They operate a school for nearly 600 inner-city boys, and the school has a nearly 100% college acceptance rate. We found that many of these kids come from poor families, and the Abbey has to raise around $4.5 million a year to educate them. So we met with the monks, and one of the first things they told us was that long ago they realized that inner-city kids need special elements not found in traditional schools, and that those elements are part of a 1,500-year-old monastic handbook called The Rule. So we wanted to find out, what were those elements? How did these guys make them work for their kids? And could these elements be used to rehabilitate a whole city?
Just something about a city monastery was very appealing to me. I'm African American, and I come from Newark. And I felt that being here in the midst of everything, I thought would be kind of cool, you know, being a monk in the hood. Typical monasteries are in the country, up on a hill. We're on a hill, but in the middle of an urban city. And sometimes I feel like we're in the real world. Here in downtown Newark, you see everything. When a young man comes to St. Benedict's Prep, they're not just coming to any old school. They're coming to a monastery. And they learn the Benedictine values.
Freshman, what's the motto?
We are guided by Brother XB!
Because they need it.
Okay, so that was a clip from your new film, The Rule. And this is a sequel to your Emmy-nominated film, Revolution 67. So tell me, how exactly is this a sequel to it?
Well, we're calling it part of a trilogy, which began with Revolution 67, The Rule, and upcoming Rust. It's the three R's of inner-city film. So where Revolution 67 looked at the Newark riots of 1967, or the Rebellion Revolution, this looks at a solution to Newark's problems.
Okay, so for the viewers who haven't seen that movie, how exactly is this going to be, how exactly did you go about finding these this monastery and the school?
Well, the monastery was right in our backyard. I mean, we live in Newark, and this monastery is right in the central part of Newark. It's right in the downtown. It's just off of the downtown area, and we knew about it. And then when we were on tour with our last film, Revolution 67, one of the historians that was with us, Dr. Tom McCabe, said, "Oh, you got to check out this place." So we checked it out, and it completely blew us away. First of all, they run high school there. and the high school is very successful. But even more than that, they have a residence for kids who might even live two blocks away. You know, kids who are maybe coming from dysfunctional families or dysfunctional neighborhoods. And what blew us away about this was that, you know, they're doing the right thing for inner city kids, where inner city kids are coming to school, you know, any kid that's coming from the inner city is coming in with a lot of baggage. And what's that baggage? It's crime. Could be a dysfunctional family, dysfunctional neighborhood. And so the monks found out that they have to help these kids deal with that baggage before they can expect those kids to perform academically. And that's what blew us away. This was the first time that we had seen that a school is taking responsibility for the problems that kids encounter in the inner city. And because they've taken the responsibility for that, you know, getting rid of that baggage, to help these kids get rid of the baggage, that they're getting the education that they need.
And Newark Abbey, St. Benedict's Prep, has a long history in Newark. The school has a history of over 40 years since it reopened of success, and they have a near 100% college acceptance rate. And these are for mostly inner city kids, African American, Latino, males. So that for us was all we needed.
Okay, so we're going to see here in your clip from Dr. Lamort and his counseling, and it's going to talk about how they helped train and like counsel these kids and to help them do better. So here we go, everybody.
Does it seem like they've spent $12 billion on education in Newark? The reality is that in Newark, it is a violent city. Real hard to do your math homework when someone's shooting at your window. Real difficult to be able to finish your history project when your mother is shooting heroin in the living room. So now this child is not performing at the level you want him to. We're not talking about cognitive learning disabilities. You're talking about significant emotional issues that impact the kid's ability to be able to think. So if you're able to kind of deal with those issues and you're able to help the kid deal with those issues, then they can begin the process of education. But until then, you can tell me whatever you want. If I'm concerned about the fact that I have to get home and I got to fight off my stepfather who's trying to molest me, it's going to be real difficult to kind of focus on the, you know, it's going to be A, B, or C. It's ludicrous for you to continue talking about algebra or English when the kid's got a broken heart. I had a kid like this. He was more worried about the fact that he had to get home in order to make sure he got into the mailbox to get the welfare money before his mother got it so he can go shopping for his little sister. But yet someone was going to grind him up about cutting school. But if nobody asks that next question and then take the next step, do something about it, it's useless. I can yell at you all day about your math homework. You're going to look at me and go, okay, yeah, fine, whatever. The kids are going to get labeled conduct disorders and the kids are going to get thrown out of school. So we had to design a program to help the kid deal with those issues that when he went back into the classroom, he'd at least be able to get the education that was so important. The stories are that, you know, we've had kids set fire to the building and they've graduated. So for us, it's not, well, you did this, get out. No, you did this. Now let's start.
Okay, so that was a clip from the movie again. And that's talking about how I guess it's the priesthood at St. Benedict really helps counsel these kids and brings them in to help them get their heads off of the street and into a more learning environment.
Yeah, some monks do help in the counseling, but it's mainly run by lay people, Dr. Lamore, Dr. Figarelli.
Okay.
And they do quite an amazing job, but it's the job that needs to be done. Should be being done in all public schools.
Okay, so how exactly do the young boys who go here, how do they actually get into the program? Is there, do they just ask to be in it, or?
Well, it varies. I mean, you know, a lot of kids come from safe, comfortable families, you know, functional families. So, you know, they don't need that type of help. But some kids do. Some kids ask for it, and some kids don't. But the teachers are trained, they're aware, to look out for signs and symptoms, you know, to alert the counselors that, you know, kids might be having a potential problem. Even the students are told, hey, you know, if you think your friend is having a problem, you know, quietly tell us and, you know, we'll approach the kid. And it's a, you know, it's a big deal and it does a lot of help for the kids.
Okay. So, you were talking before how you're actually from the Newark area. You lived in Newark for how many years?
I was born and raised there, and Jerome and I have been there for over 20 years.
Okay, so you've really, like, you're now common citizens of Newark. You've been around there enough. How did living there for so long inspire you to make these films?
Well, for us, you know, Newark has the stigma, and a lot of it is justifiable, but a lot of it is, you know, the potential for it to continue to be a great city and to be revived is what intrigued us. We live there. We want it to improve, and we're very, very much active in the community in order to make that happen.
Okay, so we're going to go into your clip here about the history of African-American families in the country and Newark, and this will help shed some light on living there.
And this is the headmaster, Father Edwin Leahy, who is giving this commentary. And I think it puts good context for us in terms of when people read the headlines and see the crime in Newark and wonder why or wonder what they can do to become more involved with this process.
Or where the hopelessness in Newark comes from. You know, he kind of puts that in context.
Okay. So here's this clip. And
when we reopened a year later, we were real conscious that one of the big things that was lacking was a sense of hope in the city.
Remember, though, every other group came here because they wanted to, which is a huge difference than coming here because you were dragged here. Big difference that works its way generation after generation. We, white people, systematically destroyed connections between African Americans and families. Nobody systematically and intentionally destroyed the Irish family, nor the German family, nor the Italian family. So that sense of who you are as a people, I mean, the Italians had it, the Irish had it, they came and started to take over places. But when you're dealing with an African American community that was brought here from generation to generation, that story's been told, we came in chains. They didn't come because we wanted to, it came because we got sold here and bought here, and then hope begins to leak out little by little. When you don't have a conviction that there are possibilities for you, that anything goes. You had 14 or 15-year-old kids stealing cars and racing them all over the city through stop signs, through red lights, through anything, because they don't have any hope. Doesn't matter if you wrapped it around a pole and you killed yourself or killed somebody else. Doesn't matter.
The first few weeks in the school, I would give back homeworks and say, this is a piece of crap. This kid just says, he agreed with me. He says, yeah, you're right, it's crap. Guess I'm crap. So when I found out that insulting a kid doesn't work, that's not what he needs. They needed to be built up. They didn't need to be bashed around and broken down. Somebody had done that for them quite thoroughly.
Okay, so that was an interesting clip from your movie talking about how the culture of the play of Newark and just the history there has helped define some of the people who live there and really impacts their life. And this school's looking to change that around. And you said before that this school's right in your backyard. And I was wondering, before you said this, were you originally thinking of making this three-part documentary series, like this trilogy, or was it just something that came up?
Well, that's a great question, one of our favorite topics, because while I was at NYU in the graduate film program, working with Spike Lee, who's my mentor, we were making fictional films. So this whole project started with that. We are working on fictional films. One is called Ready to Riot, with Spike Lee as executive producer. And we realized that when we started to do the research that there was so much misinformation about that period of history. And we had to go and figure it out ourselves. And while we were doing it, former Governor Brendan Byrne, said to us, well, if you're going to be asking these questions, why aren't you documenting it? We won't all be around forever. So that's what we did. We picked up a camera, and it became Revolution 67, the documentary. So that film is currently available on Stars on demand, so people can watch it. It's in many libraries. It was on the PBS series POV for many years. So we've taken it all over the world, and we realized that we had more to say. That focused on the problems, and it looks at not just the period of the riots, but it goes back far in terms of decades of neglect, federal policies that contributed to Newark being in the dire straits that it's in today. And we don't want to exceptionalize Newark. This is Detroit, Camden, you know, inner cities all around the country, around the world. So with that, it spawned this idea of, hey, you know, can we offer some solutions? What's working in Newark? And Newark Abbey and St. Benedict's Prep offered the possibility. We are very privileged to have had the opportunity to document that. But again, the focus there is on schools and school reform, and Columbia Teachers College has taken this as a model for urban school reform. We're working with them. And the next film, maybe Jerome can say something about why Rust is next in the lineup.
Yeah, well, you know, Revolution 67 talks about the riots of 67, but really what it talks about is the disinvestment in Newark and how industry moved out. Newark became a post-industrial city and, you know, kind of left behind in its wake poverty. And that's where we are today. You know, even 50 years after the riot, almost 50 years, you know, we have still a very poor population in Newark. Newark has about a 28% poverty rate. And if you take a look at New Jersey, which actually has cost of living is actually higher than the rest of the United States. New Jersey actually says that Newark has a 50% poverty rate. You know, that's a lot of people in poverty, and that is too many people for a city, it's too many people in poverty for a city to handle. And that's really kind of where all the problems exist in Newark. It comes from the immense amount of people who are underneath the poverty line and are living in misery, and you get out of that crime and you get out of that poor education. So we need to lift those people out of poverty, and one way to do that is to educate them, and these guys have found the the holy grail of getting these guys out of that that mindset of hopelessness and getting them onto college and getting them on to lead productive lives. Okay, so that's the first half of getting the people out of poverty and out of hopelessness, is to get them a great education. We found the solution. Now there's no excuse. People shouldn't say, well, we don't know how to do it. It's like, well, here it is. We showed you. Here's the solution to getting these kids a good education. Now, the next thing we want to do is something called Rust, which takes a look at Rust Belt cities and how to get the rest of the people, the adults, out of poverty. And there's really one answer to that, and that was discussed in 1968 in something called the Kerner Commission, which President Johnson put out. You know, he had a bunch of people sit down and say, what caused these riots? And the number one recommendation that they came up with to stop the turmoil of the inner cities was jobs. So that's the second solution. That's what we're going to talk about in Rust. The first solution is a great education for these kids, and we got that in the rule. And the second one is going to be Rust, where we're going to talk about, you got to create jobs. You can't wait for jobs to come into the city. You actually have to create WPA-type jobs, government-sponsored jobs, and get the people out of poverty and into stability.
And once you take care of the poverty, then you'll see the crime will decrease. You'll see the educational level, the high school graduation rate increase. You'll see all of the positives.
And you'll see a middle class moving into the city because there'll be less crime. They won't be afraid of the city, and they'll want to live in a city. You know, lots of people want to live in cities. A lot of our friends say, oh, you know, we're thinking of moving to Newark, and instead they move to Jersey City, or they move to Brooklyn, or they move to Hoboken. But they don't move to Newark because they're afraid. And what we need to do is get the poverty rate down, get the crime rate down, and we can get these people into Newark, the middle class, because you need a middle class, because they add to the tax base, and they also provide stability, and they also provide role models for the rest of the people. You need a middle class.
And one of the most important lessons we learned is community building, which is what the monks of Newark Abbey and St. Benedict's Prep community teach us. How do you build this community? And it's people living in a city, it's people investing in that city, having skin in the game, and becoming part of a hope-filled future.
Okay, so it sounds like you're really looking forward to the future here in Newark. You're looking to build up and try to regain some nice, a prodigious title back again. And it looks like St. Benedict Prep. Ugh, I'm mixing up all my words here. But it really looks like they're trying to get kids back and trying to really teach them, give them a good education and get them ready for the future. So
absolutely.
It looks bright. So.
Oh, absolutely. That was really a beacon of hope.
And you said it's really one of the bigger things there in the city. So it literally is one of the bright spots, one of the big beacons that comes up. So we're running out of time here. You're listening to 9.3 WMSC, Upper Montclair, New Jersey. Now, Jerome and Mary Lou, where can people see your movie?
Well, you can come tonight to the Montclair Public Library. The program is free and open to the public, and it begins at 6:30 p.m. We're doing a series of previews of the film, which are all free. So this is the opportunity all around New Jersey and parts of the country. But if you go to our website, which is www.bongiornoproductions.com, you can find out more. And that's B-O-N-G-I-O-R-N-O, productions.com.
Okay. And are you going to see it released in any local theaters, or are you going for a nationwide?
Absolutely. We're building towards that. These previews help us finalize the film and its cut, and then we're looking for all of the possible outreach that you mentioned and more.
Okay. So hopefully we'll be able to see your film throughout the country. I know, your first film that was an Emmy-nominated film, so it definitely got some national outlook on it. So, yeah, we're looking forward to seeing your film. You heard it here today. You can see it at 6 o'clock p.m. or 6:30 p.m. at the Montclair Public Library. So be on the lookout if you're in the area, and go stop by and see a good film. And it was great having you guys on. Is there anything we missed?
Just thank you, Jarrett.
Oh, it's no problem. It's my pleasure.
Mentor, for bringing us down here, and that if there are students or other alums of St. Benedict's Prep, because the school's history goes back nearly 150 years before the closing, we encourage anyone to come tonight, but we are always eager to see alumni as well.
Yeah, and if anybody's looking to be a Benedictine monk, you know, they're looking for a few good men, go down there and check them out at Newark Abbey on Martin Luther King Boulevard in Newark, New Jersey.
Okay, so you heard it here. And I guess, well, good luck with everything, guys. And I hope your film does well. I hope everybody likes it today. So, yeah, really, good luck. And thank you for being on today.